Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Back with you on The Takeaway, it's Duarte Geraldino here with you this week. Todd Zwillick is back on Thursday. Last year, a Reuters report found some California neighborhoods have a higher rate of childhood lead poisoning than Flint, Michigan. When it came out, the news made waves. We covered it on this show, but then it was largely forgotten, even in California. So two reporters from KALW in San Francisco spent a year digging deeper. Angela Johnston covers environmental issues. Marissa Ortega-Welch covers health. They focused on the Fruitvale District in Oakland. It's one of the neighborhoods in the Bay Area with high childhood lead poisoning rates. And as Marissa explains, it's not the water that's making Bay Area kids sick. It's their homes.
Oakland and a lot of the Bay Area has a really old housing stock. If your home was built before 1978 when the U.S. banned lead paint, then it can have lead paint on the walls. And as long as you're painting over that and containing it, that's okay. But, you know, if paint is peeling, if the baseboards are flaking off and, you know, that lead paint is collecting like dust at the bottom of the floor, kids can crawl through that, peel off the paint and eat it and get sick.
And so we got in touch with this public health nurse who introduced us to her huge caseload, and we decided to follow different families over the course of a year to see how lead poisoning was affecting their lives.
Our plan was for lead poisoning to be gone, eradicated by 2010, and yet we're still getting too many cases.
So that's Diep Tran, the public health nurse for Alameda County's Lead Poisoning Prevention Program. She gets about 30 new cases every year, and she'll work with a family for up to 6 years until their child's lead levels go down. So she's got quite a big caseload.
And you actually met with some of these families. What did they tell you? How did they describe the situation?
Yeah, so we followed this one family for, the last 9 months. We met with this mom, Annabelle Rasso, whose 2-year-old son, Antonio, was diagnosed with lead poisoning over a year ago. So little kids under the age of 6 are the most susceptible to lead poisoning for two reasons. One, they're just more likely to be touching things and then having their hands in their mouth or just putting weird things in their mouth. But also because lead is a neurotoxin. It can interfere with neuron function, and that is especially bad for little kids whose brains are still developing. So short-term, lead poisoning can look like a loss of appetite and violent emotional behavior. And long-term, it can lead to permanent brain damage, learning disabilities, and behavioral disorders.
But these symptoms are common for other types of conditions. So a lot of times, families, they're not going to know right off the bat that that's because their kid was lead poisoned.
And also a lot of little kids are picky eaters, but with lead poisoning, it's really severe. And that was the hardest part for this mom, Annabelle.
Y eso es lo más difícil porque
that's the most difficult part.
Come una tortilla.
Because he only eats one tortilla.
Y yo tengo miedo de que él llegue al hospital.
And I'm scared he'll end up in the hospital.
No quiero mirarlo. En el hospital, lleno de dolor.
I don't want to see him in the hospital in pain.
She was really worried about her son ending up in the hospital. Kids with really high lead poisoning will have to go into the hospital and get what's called chelation. It's a process where doctors use chemicals to extract the lead out of the body and cause the body to flush out the lead. I think it's also just emotionally painful for families, right? A lot of these families feel like it's their fault.
So, Angela, part of your reporting looked into how the housing crisis in the Bay Area has affected families whose children are at risk for lead poisoning. Connect the dots for us. What exactly did you find, and how is the cost of housing impacting lead poisoning?
So 80% of homes in Oakland, where we centered this reporting, were built before 1978. That's when lead paint was banned. So all these older homes with peeling paint are where a child in the Bay Area is likely to be exposed. So if you live in an old home with lead paint, you know, you need to make sure your landlord, or if you own the home, that you do these repairs. But we met many families who, when they found out that their homes were poisoning their children, they couldn't really move, or they couldn't really complain to their landlord because they were afraid of being evicted, they were afraid of rocking the boat, or they just couldn't afford to live anywhere else. We met one family, the Sharifs. Their daughter had severe lead poisoning, but they were really afraid to complain to their landlord. They eventually did, and then this happened. So here's dad, Tarek Sharif.
And I told him, before I could move to another apartment, I'm going to bring in a whole team and test the place. And then I'll move in. If it's safe, I'll move in. And I think that's what actually triggered everything. He evicted us right after that.
And now they're suing their landlord because they're claiming wrongful eviction. But Diep Tran, the public health nurse that we followed, says this is common, this landlord-tenant relationship around lead poisoning. And it's really hard to find a new place to live in the Bay Area at the same price.
So what's Oakland doing to help alleviate childhood lead poisoning?
So one of the people who runs the Alameda County Lead Poisoning Prevention Program, his name's Larry Brooks, he's been trying to get Oakland City Council to adopt this solution for a long time. And it's basically a proactive rental inspection program. And it's basically addressing lead hazards before kids get sick.
And he is pushing Oakland and the Bay Area to consider a program that Rochester, New York has actually been using really successfully. So back in 2005, Rochester had a childhood lead rate 10 times the national average. But the county started this program where they would send county staff to go out into people's homes, apartment buildings, and look for these lead hazards. They would test for lead paint on the walls. And that way people didn't have to wait to complain to their landlord and risk getting evicted or wait for their kids to get sick. The county would tell the landlord, hey, you've got to address these problems. And in 10 years, Rochester's county, Monroe County, reduced their childhood lead poisoning rates by 80%.
Different community groups have been pushing for this solution for over a decade, and Oakland City Council has been slow to make movement on that. And Larry says that's because there are a lot of things competing for a city's budget. But he says if you solve this problem, you solve a lot of other problems too.
Angela Johnston, environmental reporter for KALW, and Marissa Ortega-Welch, health reporter for KALW. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find a link to KALW's full investigation called Persistent Poison on our website, thetakeaway.org.